Welcome to our Bible study on the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27, with some background information. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to come to our in-person Bible study on Wednesday from 5:15 to 6 p.m., at the church in the Fellowship Hall. The name James comes from the Greek Jakapos, derived from the Hebrew for Jacob, and in the New Testament there are several men named James, which makes identifying who wrote this letter a bit of a challenge. For example, there is James, the brother of John and the son of Zebedee, who was a disciple of Jesus. At first glance, he might be a good candidate, but he was executed by Agrippa I in 44 AD. In fact, tradition considers him to be the first apostle martyred, and it seems unlikely that he would have been able to write a letter so soon. Staying with the disciples, there is also James, the son of Alphaeus. He's only mentioned four times in the New Testament. At Matthew chapter 10, verse 3, Mark chapter 3, verse 18, at Luke chapter 6, verse 15, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And always, he's just a name on the list of the 12 disciples. Some traditions designated him as James the Less, which just by that designation would probably rule him out. By the way, for some trivia here, in Mark chapter 2, verse 14, when Jesus calls Levi, the tax collector, to follow him, Levi is listed as the son of Alphaeus, possibly making the tax collector Levi and James brothers, but they are never referred to that way. And by the way, in the Gospel of Matthew, at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus sees a man called Matthew, he's not called Levi there, sitting at the tax office, not necessarily a tax collector, and Jesus calls him to follow him. But there is no mention of who Matthew's father is. And in Luke, at Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 27, we are told Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi and called Levi to follow him, but there is no mention of Levi's father's name. All right, back to James. So now we come to the possibility of James, the brother of Jesus, as being the author, which is according to tradition, who the letter is attributed to. Here's what we know about James, the brother of Jesus. 1. He's never listed as one of the 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 7 are very clear in distinguishing between the 12 and the brothers of the Lord. 2. At Mark 6, verse 3, he lists James, Moses, Judas, and Simon as brothers of Jesus, as well as references to sisters, plural, but makes no mention of who the mother is. By the way, in Matthew 13:55, the second brother is identified as Joseph. Now remember, there is a split decision regarding Jesus' siblings. Roman Catholics and many Eastern churches hold that these were children from Joseph's previous marriage because they believe in the perpetuity of Mary's virginity, that Mary stayed a virgin, and that she and Joseph never had sexual relations. Protestants and others believe that Jesus' siblings were his younger siblings through Mary and Joseph. Number 3, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, the risen Jesus appeared to James, and from then on, James becomes a prominent leader. Luke, on number 4, Luke in Acts chapter 15, and Paul in Galatians chapter 2 lift up the important role James, the brother of Jesus, had in the Jerusalem church, and of James' influence beyond Jerusalem, especially in behalf of Jewish Christianity. And number 5, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, James, the brother of Jesus, was killed by stoning in 62 AD. Here is what we know about the letter of James that lifts up doubts as to it being written by the brother of James. 1. James is written in excellent Greek, even eloquent Greek, and it shows a polished style. There is little chance that it has been translated from Hebrew or Aramaic, and that the writer's native tongue was Hebrew or Aramaic. Number 2. The scripture employed is the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, not the Hebrew Bible. Again, it seems unlikely that a Jewish villager from Nazareth would have access to, let alone use, a Greek translation instead of the Hebrew scripture. Number 3. Why does James identify himself as a servant of the Lord instead of brother of the Lord? Number 4. Why are there no biographical references regarding Jesus? Indeed, there are only 2 references at chapter 1, verse 1, and at chapter 2, verse 1, to Jesus. And there's not a single Jesus said reference. As we have discovered in previous Bible studies, sometimes a book is attributed to a person who did not actually write it. For example, remember Moses is given credit as writing the first 5 books of the Old Testament, but clearly he did not write about his own death. But this does not mean that the teachings are not authentic. We simply do not know if James, the brother of Jesus, wrote the letter James, or if a follower of James, the brother of Jesus, wrote James. What we do know is that James is in our Bible, and we continue to hold the Bible is the living Word of God, given to us to lead us, guide us, and inspire us in a life of faith. Now, let us take a closer look at our passage. Verse 17, every perfect gift. The writer speaks of God as the source of all gifts, and God is uniquely portrayed as the Father of lights. That is a creation image, and you can see Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. In creation, there are seasons, night and day, and even the sun, moon, and stars change, but God never changes. Think of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and the line, There is no shadow of turning with Thee. God is not fickle and can be trusted. At verse 18, of His own will He brought us forth. We do not cause our own selves to be born. God has given us life through His word of truth. Remember, God creates through speaking. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and through Him is life and light. We are created for a purpose, that we might be a kind of first fruits of God's creation. And throughout Scripture, we are told the importance of first fruits, from tithes to crops, as a blessing from and to God. The old saying comes to mind, God gives us life. What we do with our life is our gift to God. Verse 19, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That echoes the Sirach chapter 5, verse 11. That's found in the Apocrypha. Be quick to hear and be deliberate in answering. Most of us are aware that anger can cause us to say things we later regret. Jesus spoke about responsible speech and consequences for those who fail to do so. For example, you can look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, or Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37. Verse 20, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Typically, anger is not productive, and it interferes with our relation to God, with others, and with the quality of life God expects, which is spelled out for us in the next verse. At verse 21, we see put away or remove and receive or put on. We are called to remove that which is summed up as filth and evil and to receive or put on the heard and believed word of truth, which must be continually embraced and which saves our soul. We also hear an echo of a similar instruction in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. At verses 22 through 25, be doers of the word, not hearers only, and going on. The joining of hearing and doing echoes the teaching of Jesus. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. In Greek, hearing and obeying are from the same root word. Hearing the word can deceive us into a false estimate of our character if we don't follow through. As verse 25 makes clear, but he who perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, shall be blessed in his doing. Verses 26 and 27, religion that is pure, just as listening without acting is empty and deceptive, so is talking religion without a life which confirms our word. Religion is a rare word in the New Testament. Acts chapter 26, verse 5, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Religion that is meaningful rather than empty must have the integrity of word and work. If we wonder what is to be done, the answer is very practical. Care for those who cannot fully care for themselves. To keep ourselves unstained by the world occurs as a result of practical acts of Christian charity, rather than through ritual purification. To do so, to do acts of charity, is to live acceptably before God. Conclusion, our passage reminds us that Christian living begins with recognizing God as the source of every gift, including our life and salvation. As verse 21 reminds us, those who truly receive the implanted word with meekness will produce a life of discipleship that is long on obedience and short on words. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.